sick of the world.
Love of your
love for music and love for the football. Love of the music more than anything.
Yes. But how do you handle people? I mean, how do you get people to do what you want?
Oh, well, that's according to the people.
Yes. Yes. So you have to adjust.
Yes.
To everything.
There are certain rules for holding your bow and holding your violin.
Yes.
So you've only got to look at my two thumbs to see if that applies.
Oh, yes. Yes. You mean they went like that because
they were... That one has to be like water because that guides the bow, and you've got to have the maximum, relaxation.
Yes,
maximum
flexibility.
Control.
Yes.
You've got to balance the two, exactly. Control and relaxation.
Yes.
And then this has support the note of the violin, you see.
Yes.
But you don't really hold it with your chin.
Yes.
You shouldn't do that at all. But you support it with it. So, and then all the fingering has to be done on that thumb. So that,
yes,
that's stronger, you see, and it's upright. And
yes,
this is, as you see, quite different.
Yes,
it's like that for my life now.
So supposing you had a girl who didn't work hard or didn't try, what's the best way to deal with her?
Well, usually, unfortunately, usually those are the most musical ones. The most musical ones are the ones who didn't want to work. And the ones who worked hard haven't got much music in them. So you have to make the best of both of them, you see. Try and get the musical ones interested enough to put in some work at it.
So did you have to tempt them, really, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Persuade them to.
Yes, give them something that you think they would really like.
Because you were a very successful music teacher, and I wonder what your recipe was, you know.
Yes. Well, it was really getting the kids to like it. And to like you, I may say.
Yes. How do you do that? With your sense of humour, I suppose.
Yes, partly, I think. And
yes.
Yes, having jokes with them. I can't remember what, I had some great fun with the children too. They were very amusing. Oh yes, a little girl who... No, I won't have her just now, thank you. You helped yourself because you've come such a long way.
Good, thank you very much.
A little girl I was trying to teach a Bach suite to. And I asked her if she liked it, so she said, I like the gigue best. Do you know what gigue is?
Gigue.
And of course, I taught general music as well as the classes, you see. And we've been talking about syncopation one week, so next week I said to the class, and I could, any of you remember the name of the time we were speaking about last week? And went up, so I said, well, she said, constipation, she said. Oh, I had such fun out of them. Quite seriously, she didn't realise what a wonderful mistake she was making.
Because it would be very interesting if you could write about being a music teacher in your last section of your autobiography.
Yes. No. Well, you saw the poem about me, didn't you?
Yes.
Teaching.
I did, yes.
A very irreverent pupil, but a very nice pupil she was.
So you didn't really believe in discipline in the strict sense?
Oh, yes, rather.
You did?
I had an awful, awful crew one day who just wouldn't settle down. And so I tried everything I could think of, and at last I said, oh, well, I'm tired of this. I said, I'm just going. And I walked out. And in about 2 minutes, I went to the staff room, and about 2 minutes, the child came back almost on hands and knees, begging me to come back again.
The main thing is to get them to like it, isn't it? To enjoy
yes,
music,
yes.
Then you won't need to yes. discipline them, really.
Well, poor kids, you see, their mother, parents are so awful. Their parents used to say, a child used to come to me and say, Mummy says I can learn to ride or I can learn to play the piano. So I said, well, what are you going to do? So I said, oh, I'm going to ride. Naturally, of course. Because parents didn't help you very much.
One thing I wanted to ask you was, do you remember when you went to Swanley,
yes.
the gardening
yes.
place? When you came out of Swanley, when you finished being Swanley, were you intending to be a gardener full-time? I mean, as a career?
Yes, I was, but not to take a
premises.
Yeah, you don't live on the premises. I became a jobbing gardener.
I see. So you did all
round about. My friends' gardens, yes, round about. Just went out by the day. In those days, I think you earned a miserable 3 shillings a day or something. Now you earn about 4 times as much as that.
Yes. I mean, I suppose you were unusual as a woman jobbing gardener.
Yes.
Wasn't very common for women to
I think so.
But you were thinking of doing that all your life, were you, really?
Oh, no, I was so unsettled at that period. I'd had this terrible, terrible nervous breakdown, which was just hell, hell on earth, that I couldn't make my mind. I just lived from day to day, that's all. In fact, I thought we weren't born to be happy, we weren't meant to be happy.
So you were thinking, really, you weren't really thinking of your career at all.
I thought quite a good deal of getting rid of life.
Did you really?
Had to be watched day and night, part of the time. Even somebody sleeping with me, in case I did anything desperate.
I was wondering, you see, when you went to prison, they must have been worried about you because of your depression. They must
I was all right by that time.
You were all right, were you? I mean, they didn't think, well, we must get her out of prison.
Oh, no, that was a long time out of prison in any case.
I see.
But you were good. If you're sent the right people and given time, I think anybody can get over a terrible nervous breakdown like that, but you must have time for it. It was ages afterwards I went to prison. Ages.
I see. So it was all forgotten. Yeah, right then, really.
You see, I was only 12 when I went to the Royal Academy of Music. And I had to practice 5 hours a day. Which is a lot for a kid.
Oh, you bet it is.
See all the family going off for picnics, and I wasn't allowed to go because I had to finish my practice.
But you seem to me you're a person who's always doing things. You said that yourself, looking at flowers or birds or whatever it is. What did you do with yourself when you were in prison?
Nothing, I think, except just when we went out and walked around through the exercise yard. We did have a mutiny, I think I mentioned that. We all refused to go back to our cells. It took five wardresses to carry me upstairs. I don't believe in fighting, but I made myself like a sack of potatoes. So one wardress for each leg, and one for each arm, and one for my head, and they carried me feet first upstairs. And they shoved us just into the first cell that came, anybody's ill cell. So you're even parted from whatever you were allowed to have, which wasn't very much.
You liked the wardresses, didn't you? You got on with them, didn't you, quite well? The wardresses?
Yes, you couldn't like it. If you couldn't like it, you just sat all day long. I could see out of the window by climbing on the top rug of my chair. Those tiny little window you could see out of, I used to climb up there and look out sometimes.
But did you sleep well, Miss Ingalls, in prison?
Not very well, no. How could you on bare boards?
You had bare boards. What about the food?
Oh, dreadful. You had just a tin, and in the tin they put cocoa for supper and breakfast. And soup in the middle of the day, and they never washed the tin out properly. And they always tasted of each other. You didn't know whether you were taking soup or cocoa. And then they gave us some vegetable stuff after that. Can't remember anything more than that much.
But you went made vegetarian, didn't you?
Yes.
Because the vegetarian food was better.
Yes. I was given that advice, so I followed it, and I think I was very wise.
Did you hear other prisoners through the walls at all, or in the corridor, while you were locked up?
Yes, I did. But the worst part was to read what the former prisoners had scrawled on the wall. And dreadful. Especially their dreadful feelings of sorrow for what they'd done. What's the word, remorse? They just keep my eyes off the walls. The prisoners have scrawled remorseful little remarks on the wall. It was awful.
meet any ordinary prisoners while he was there?
No, we weren't allowed to mix.
What about books? Did they give you books to read?
No, only the Bible. There was a Bible in every cell. I don't think they gave you anything. I think you were allowed to have one book. I can't remember all those details very well.
You didn't do any sewing or needlework or anything like that?
Yes, I rather think we made mail bags or something like that. I rather think so. As I say, it's got so many, so much of the past now, I can't remember very well.
I think you puzzled me, really, Miss Ingalls. You're a puzzle because it seems to me you're a very gentle person and not at all violent, and yet you break a window.
Easiest thing in the world, you try.
But was it difficult to do?
Difficult to do is to get through the 10 minutes before you do it. That's the awful time. When you have come to do it, it's nothing at all. You have your hat in a bag and that in a muff. You just walk up to the four windows you've been told to do. You know where they are quite well. You just walk past and you just do that, and that, and that, and that, and then it's done.
But it's before that's difficult.
Yes, there's a wandering round before. You don't see anything. You don't... You just wonder... Well, you're sort of walking in a daze all the time, waiting for 6 o'clock to go.
I suppose you wonder whether people are looking at you and...
Oh, well, they were looking at me. Of course, a man walked up to me and put his hand on my shoulder. And I got that in my...
You've got that in your book, yes. Now, I meant before you break your window, you must wonder whether people are looking at you.
I might have done, but of course I knew that 300 women were doing the same thing at the same time. Exactly. So we weren't alone. My sister was one of them. Oh, yes, of course, you've met her, haven't you?
Well, I'm going to see her this afternoon.
Yes.
Shall I give her your good wishes?
Yes, please do. But she's very, very different from me.
She
just sits and never does anything. I'm terribly energetic, you see. I can't stop doing things.
Do you want me to take anything to her or anything?
No, I don't think so, thank you, no.
Because if I'm going, I can easily take something, you know.
No, I don't know, but I think I sent her, unfortunately.
Did you see your sister in prison while you were there?
Only once, I think, after the exercise yard.
She weren't next door to each other or anything
like that? I don't think they realised that there was any connection.
But she changed her name too, did you? Because you had a different name, didn't you?
Yes, but I only changed the letters round. I called myself May instead of Amy. And I called myself by surname. My second name is a surname, you see. My real name is Amy Morrison Ingalls. So I called myself May Morrison. And I forget what she called herself.
But she changed her name too, did she?
I think she did, I'm not quite sure.
You said that your mother bailed you out at the end of your prison, didn't she?
No, she didn't bail us out. She persuaded us to accept, can't get those legal terms nowadays, so long ahead.
I might have written it down.
Yes, to accept. We were given the option of being...
Bound over.
That's right, bound over, yes.
That's right, yes.
Yes, she persuaded us to be bound over.
Well, you said, I think you wrote in your autobiography, you were given the option of prison or being bound over, and you said, for various reasons, I chose to be bound over. What made you choose to be bound over?
Well, because my mother wanted me to, particularly, you see. She wasn't very well. It was too long to write all that down. So I just put that.
She was worried
about
you, I suppose.
Yes. Well, naturally, I suppose.
Do you know why she didn't go to prison? And why didn't she do any militancy? Herself.
I couldn't tell you. She was a very, very highly strung woman. I suppose she thought she was too old, I don't know.
Because she was very keen, wasn't she?
Oh, very, very keen.
I suppose she felt it was better for younger people to
go. Yes, I think so. But I had a little, her sister, who was younger than she was. She was so keen as she went, and she did the hunger and the thirst strikes both.
Did she really? I didn't know that. Did she?
Had let her out to the point of death. She couldn't go on any longer.
What was her name, Miss Ingalls?
Graves. That's my mother's Christian name.
So her sister's name was Graves?
Yes, Florence Graves.
I see. What sort of person was Florence Graves? Was she?
Oh, a most determined little person. She was my favourite aunt and a most attractive she was. We used to spend all our holidays, my sister and I used to spend all our holidays with them in Edinburgh. They had a house in Edinburgh and we used to go up there for our holidays and have a lovely time with them.
So did she influence you to be a suffragette, Florence Graves?
No, I don't think she did. I think it was due brutality to my mother and my father. My father was turned out of so many meetings for interrupting and asking questions.
One thing I wanted to ask you were a steward, weren't you, at the Albert Hall?
Yes.
What did you have to do as a steward?
Show people to seats and take the collection mostly. And as Frederick Pethick Lawrence was the treasurer, used to get hundreds of pounds. I don't know how he got it. But I think he gave a lot of it himself, but really the collections were stunning, the amount.
It was like being in church, was it? You just pass a bag round.
That's right, yes.
Yes. What was Fred Pethick Lawrence like as a speaker?
I didn't hear him speak very much. His wife was a wonderful speaker.
Was she?
Yes, he didn't speak so very much.
She was a very nice-looking woman, wasn't she?
Oh, very, yes. And he was a very nice-looking man, too. Of course, you've seen all the books, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Pictures of them.
Yes.
They were a charming couple.
Did you ever talk to them? I suppose they were too senior, weren't they? You didn't...
Yes, I didn't talk to them very much.
Mm. But there were lots of stewards at meetings, were there? And you were just one of a lot.
Yes.
So did you wear your uniform?
Oh, yes. You always wore that job, especially when you went to, if you were stewarding or anything like that, or take collections. Oh yes, we always wore our uniforms. I showed you the latest picture, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Uniform on.
Your uniform is the sash, isn't it?
That's right.
The badge, I suppose. Yes.
Well, yeah. Some people even used to wear the purple, white and green dresses. And I shall never forget, you've heard of General Drummond, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, she was a sketch, quite a funny woman. And I forget where she was, but she was up to the very tower and couldn't find a seat. And I was looking at her, and she went and threw herself into a waste paper basket to sit down. Of course, the waste paper basket upset. She went over, her legs shot up in there, she had on purple, white and green knickers. Excuse me if I look at the time.
Of course, yes. Do keep your eye.
I had to read it to be called for. Of course, I'm half past 10, quite early yet.
She was quite a character, Mrs. Drummond.
Oh, she was, yes, rather.
She used to organise all the processions.
Yes. Very wonderful woman.
Did you talk to her very much yourself?
No, not very much. There are too many of us, you know. It was a very huge society, enormous.
Of course, Mrs. Pankhurst had a bodyguard, didn't she? Bodyguard, the young hotbloods, I think they were called. Did you? You weren't in the bodyguard, were you?
Lived too far away. The Croydon was far away from London, really.
Because it was a village then, really, wasn't it?
I was only concerned with local doings unless we had those huge demonstrations and processions in London, you see. I was in those. I took part when they had a, a, procession showing all the trades and professions that women took part in. So I walked across with the gardener's lot. I helped to make the banner too, a lovely banner.
Did you make the banner in Croydon then, or did you make it in London?
I couldn't tell you that now.
Mm. You all made it together, did you? Worked on it together?
Well, the people who were in the gardener's section did.
Did it have flowers on it, or trees, or
what? I think it had trees, as far as I can remember.
Because you could have gone under the musicians, couldn't you? You could have walked with the musicians.
I don't think there was one, I can't remember.
Oh, I see. Yes. But you never did any music making for the WSPU, did you? Because you've given up music then, hadn't you?
I gave up playing my violin finally in the Second World War. But God didn't mean me to play the violin, you see. I was stopped twice. First when I left the academy, had that awful breakdown. I didn't touch my violin for 10 years. Didn't want to.
And that was while you were a suffragette, really, wasn't it?
Yes, it must have been, yes.
Mm-hmm. One thing you did do, you were in the shop, weren't you, in Croydon?
Yes.
What did you have to do there?
Oh, we had all sorts of things to sell. Crowds of things. They made all sorts of things, and everything was decorated, generally decorated with words for women, you know. But not everything. You could buy things that weren't. Yes, that was rather fun. Can't remember what building it was now. Somewhere near Wilson's, I think. Near the old Wilson's.
Well, you said 50 High Street West Croydon.
I don't know where that is now.
Yes. What did you have to do in the shop?
Just people who came in and asked for things and take the money, give the change. Of course, it was a money-making affair, you see. I expect Mr. Pettigrams was the head of it. He was a grand money maker.
But what sort of things did you sell?
Oh, all sorts of fancy goods. Nothing destructible.
Sort of jam and homemade food.
Yes, things like that.
That sort of thing.
More things like scarves and that sort of thing.
And you were open 6 days a week, were you?
Yes. Of course, I wasn't the only one. There were other people doing it too. It was a very large society. It was certainly enough help us to go well around everything.
Who ran the shop? Do you remember?
The local lady, but I can't remember her name.
Doesn't matter, I just wondered if she was a personality, you know, if you remember her.
Oh yes, I think she was, but she was local, but I can't remember her name.
So it was just an ordinary shop, really?
Yes.
With a counter?
Yes.
But did it have posters and things on it? For votes for women?
Yes, rather.
And did you sell the paper?
Yes, rather. Oh, I used to sell that in the street. Opposite East Croydon Station, very often. And there was a very well-known suffragette whose family lived in Croydon, and my oldest brother married one of them. It didn't last long, I had a divorce, but they were living nice. Her name was Letitia Withall, but she called herself Leslie Hall.
Oh, yes, I come across her, yes.
Well, her sister married my brother, but as I say, the wedding didn't last very long, I don't know why.
But your family was a real suffragette family,
yes,
so it was natural
yes,
they
yes.
should meet.
It wasn't because she was a suffragette, it was just for other reasons.
Did you sell papers in the street yourself, did
oh,
you?
Yes, rather. And I carried sandwich boards too, over my head, you know. And that's when somebody going past with this and my shameless hussy.
Like selling papers in the street?
Oh, you just held it out and somebody street outside the old Kreutner Association. Since I've been there, I can't remember it. I expect the old almshouses are at the bottom of George Street, are they still?
I don't know Croydon very well.
I don't feel very well dropping down on my feet, on my knees, and chalking the pavement there. It's also votes for women meeting, where it was, town hall or public hall, something at the time, you see.
Did people make remarks while you were doing it? You didn't feel embarrassed doing that?
No, not a bit, no. Well, I think in a way I got used to being a badness. I got used to appearing on a platform, you see. I'll show you what I look like in those days.
That's interesting, yes. I'd be interested to see. Can you manage?
I think so, thank you. My leg doesn't give way. Gave way the other day after the drive.
You'd inherited the ugliness of both your parents. Did that worry you?
No, no, not a bit. No, I adored that woman. Absolutely adored her. I wish you'd where is the photograph? I've got it somewhere.
But if she, I mean, it could hurt a child terribly, that sort of remark. Do you think, was she just making a joke?
I think so. I think so, yes. Oh, she was a wonderful woman. She was a Quaker. And she wouldn't hurt anybody, no.
Because you weren't ugly at all. You were a very beautiful young woman.
Well, I wasn't a child when I got to know her. I joined the school. I forgot what year it was.
Well, that was about 1911, that sort of time, wasn't it?
Might have been. They gave me this when I left. I put all these things up there. I can't take it off now. I've got a head up there. But, it's a copy of a presentation check, you see.
Oh, yes, I think you showed me last time, singles.
The bank manager said he'd only seen one before in his life.
One thing I wanted to ask you was, did you agree with militancy? I mean, did you agree with using violence in the women's movement?
You see, everybody's idea of violence is so different. There's a lady here, I think it's that one I introduced you to just now. She goes to my church. And I have to mention the suffragists. So she goes, oh, I don't approve of violence. Well, what do you mean by violence? I said, well, they never hurt anybody but themselves. The only people they hurt were themselves. And she kept on saying, no, no violence for me. So kept on saying, well.
Did it worry you at all? I mean, the violent tactics? I mean, you didn't worry at all?
No, I knew they weren't hurting anybody. They hurt property. And even then myself, they gave me the choice of what I would like to do. And I said, well, I'm problems with the government. I don't want to destroy private property, but I don't mind destroying government property. So they gave me a post office, you see, to damage us by. So they really didn't think about what they were doing.
When you say they gave you the choice, did you meet to discuss what people should do then?
No, you just set up your name and said that you were willing to undertake militant action, see. And so I got a letter back saying that I would receive an answer by through the post. So I just got a letter, and inside it just had the date, and underneath Lower Regent Street Post Office, 6 o'clock. So I knew what I had to do, you see, and time and everything.
But when you wrote saying you would do some militancy, you said, I'll only damage government property.
Right, yes.
Yes,
well, I would prefer damage government property.
Mm. When you came out of prison, you went to India, didn't you?
Yes.
But did you leave the women's movement when you came out of prison then? I mean, did you?
Oh, no, rather not.
You stayed in, did you?
I went to that little aunt, you see, who, I think they brought me home. They were coming home, and I went out to stay with them before they came home. And she came home to go
Miss Ingalls, your aunt, did she carry on in the women's movement?
Yes, I think so, as long as she could. Mm.
But you went off to India, really, so that separated you from...
No, I only went for 4 months, you see. Mm. I came home with them.
I see.
And everybody says I saw more of India in 4 months than most people see in 4 years. And that's quite true. Because my uncle was a medical missionary, and they'd saved up all the holidays that I got out there. And so, first of all, we had a wonderful tour up north, where I saw Agra and Delhi and even the Himalayas in the distance, and all the big cities up in the north. Then some friends of theirs asked whether they would take, my aunts would take their children down to the south to school, as they couldn't leave their work and travel. So she said, yes, of course, so she took me along with them. So I went down and I saw Madras and Trichinopoly and Nilgiri Hills and all those places down in the south. So I just see a tremendous lot. Mm. And I never entered in a hotel once, never. We slept either in state and waiting rooms or we did. You see, my uncle had a Salvation Army hospital. He wanted a Church of England, but they didn't want a married man at that time in the hospital. So his aunts and his wife, they always worked in the Salvation Army. And I met General Booth several times, and a wonderful old man. And so he applied for a Salvation Army hospital, and they gave him this one on the east coast, I think so. So that's where I went to stay with him.
What did you do when you came back from India then? Did you take up gardening again?
Well, I couldn't remember now.
And you didn't do any more militancy for the women's movement, did you, after that?
No.
When you came back?
No. Well, it wasn't very long after, surely, they won the vote.
Yes, quite soon after, yes. But did you carry on going to meetings when you came back from India? I suppose it's difficult to remember now.
Oh, yes, because I remember my aunt, let's say she was very keen. She went to prison and she did the hunger and thirst strike.
You never thought of doing the hunger strike yourself, did you?
Nobody thought of it in those days. They hadn't thought of it, I think.
But you must have been a voter in the first election where women had the vote. Do you remember voting for the first time?
As a matter of fact, nowadays I always have a postal vote because I'm not a very good walker, you see. So. For a long time I've had a postal vote, which is very good of them.
But you don't remember first voting then?
No, I don't remember, no.
So I thought perhaps you might have done, if you'd gone to prison for the vote,
yes,
you know, you'd think
yes.
You might remember, but... But you're not a very political person, really.
No, a little bit. I think politics are idiotic. No, that doesn't interest me in the least.
Have you always thought that, really?
Yes.
Because you were fighting for influence in politics, really, weren't you, in the women's movement?
Yes, well, you see, what I thought, I think I told you, the four people, the classes of people who weren't allowed to vote were infants, criminals, lunatics, and women. And I objected to being classified with any of those. I didn't mind being an infant, but I didn't want to be a criminal or a lunatic. And I thought it was an absolute disgrace that women should be treated like that and thought of like that.
So it wasn't really because you wanted the vote for its own sake.
Oh, no.
It was more because you felt it was an indignity to
women.
Yes,
exactly.
Mm. That's very interesting. Mm. So you've never really followed politics much at all?
Oh, no.
That's interesting. Because you're unusual. A lot of suffragettes were quite interested in politics and were quite active afterwards.
Indeed, they were, yes, indeed.
Because Mrs. Pankhurst herself became became a Conservative candidate in Parliament.
Yes.
But then you really gave your life to music, didn't you?
Yes. But then that's Mrs. Faggers did that for what she could do socially.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
She's quite powerless without a vote, you see. The whole task without a vote is quite powerless. They had been asking for the vote for 40 years. Mm. And successive governments had promised it, and always at the last moment they'd let them down. Either somebody had talked it out or done something like that, just let them down. And so finally Christabel said, well, she said, we're going to have a new motto. Deeds, not words.
Mm. Really get things moving.
Yes, really get things done.
Did you actually feel personally that you'd suffered through being a woman when you joined the movement? I mean, did you feel that you yourself had suffered?
Well, I did suffer lots of times from being a woman in those days, because when I left the Royal Academy of Music, I was very, very well qualified. I couldn't be better qualified. And I wanted to get into one of the large orchestras, you see, and that was it. They wouldn't have a woman. So then it would change all that.
Being a musician was a man's job at that time.
Yes. Mm. No women in orchestras, they would tell them to hear about it. Mm.
But your main reason for joining the women's movement was because your mother was in favour and your father was in favour.
Oh yes, I was just brought up in it, you see.
Yes, it wasn't because you had suffered particularly.
Oh no.
No.
And also my mother's friends were all very great on it too. I lived in that atmosphere.
One other thing, did you make friends in the women's movement? I mean, was it a way of making a lot of friends and meeting new people?
No. You just saw the meetings, but you never saw them much afterwards.
You didn't feel it sort of broadened you out or gave you a lot of new faces and new experiences?
Well, it did, of course, but not close friends.
No.
I think you want proximity for that.
Yes, whereas you just came together for special purposes and then went away again.
Right,
sort of
yes.
That's marvellous. We must keep our eye on the time because you mustn't be late.
No, I'm keeping my eye on
I think I've asked you almost everything I want to ask.
You made that little book for me.
Oh, yes. Oh, you can see with that. That's very interesting.
Well as all those notices,
yeah.
I thought when I wanted to write these things, I thought I'd put a few. I think you'll find a few notes put on the top somewhere in one or two places.
Yes. From where they're from.
Yes, but not only that, but I thought when I was writing this, I've got notes somewhere.
Yes, you have.
I could make a few more notes if I can do a little looking up and try to remember hard. I might remember something, but...
Yes, you've got... I'll read out some of the things to you. You've got 1900, your first press notice. And...
the pencil.
Yes. 1901, Certificate of Merit, Bronze Medal. LRAM. 1902...
Never mind,
sir. You're in a quartet. 1903, lots of concerts here. It's interesting, isn't it? You've got lots of things here. 1904 in the Bechstein Hall. 1905, Swanley Horticultural Gardening.
That's a very kind of various things.
Yes, you've got quite a lot here. 1912, you went to India.
Well, so far as that. I left off writing down those things.
Yes, you've got quite a lot more. You've got an associate of the RAM 1918.
Yes, that of course does confer on you. You don't go in for that.
You've got here 1990, change name to Ingalls. Oh, I see. Ingalls String Quartet. I see.
That's right.
Yes. Shall I help you?